obviously I'm listening to right now. I just listen to anything on Apple Music that has Afro beats on it. Just play any Afro beats playlist, shuffle.
So no Future, bro? You ain't giving Future a chance?
Future? Oh, you with that Drake, all that Future beef, huh?
It's not even just about the beat, bro. Future just, to me, he makes good music, man. And you make good music, I don't care what genre you're in, man. And Future just, you
know. He has a new album? What,
15 years? Yeah, I think it's a two-part album. So one came out about a month ago, and another one came out like a month after that, probably a week ago. And it's...
I only know that like that. That's it.
Shoot, since we're already on it, let's talk about it then. So, hey, thank you for having us. This is episode 2, Three Tribal Men. So, since we're talking about music already, what's your favorite artist?
Oh, that's tough. Favorite artist or favorite artist right now?
Favorite artist right now. Give us both.
Whew, don't do that to me, man. My favorite artist, I got to go with Drizzy Drake. But if we're talking about African artists, I don't have one. I mean, I guess you can say Wizkid. I think I respect the fact that he's been there longer and he's still doing it. You know, I like all these cats, man. I don't have like a one favorite. But I do have some favorite songs.
Sure.
100%. That are just on the replay. You know what I'm saying?
100%. 100%. What about yourself?
Favorite artist, man, that's a tough question, man. It's tough.
What decade?
You know, are you talking about right now or all the time?
Both. Let's hear it.
Man, I mean, I went through my Tupac phases. I went through my Jay-Z phases, Nas phases. Man, Jeezy, you know what I'm saying? G-Unit. So it's tough. I can't really say I have a favorite artist all the time. But right now, man, probably the artist that I listen to the most, hip-hop-wise, is probably like 21 Savage and Future, right?
That's on your playlist? Like,
and Drake, between those three. And then as far as like Afrobeats, bro, Burna Boy. And I like Adekunle Gold too. Like,
that's, I was just gonna say.
Yeah, he's underrated in my opinion, man. And he's underrated. What about you?
So for me, it'll be I'm gonna keep it. Of course I did my hip hop. I think I've phased out of my hip hop phase for sure. I'm not even into hip hop like that unless I'm hitting the gym. But outside of that, I'm gonna go with all time. Ooh, P Square up there, bro.
Come on, this man went, bro. This man went way back.
Yeah, bro. If you know, you know, bro. Till today I still listen to Fela. So for sure.
That's not going anywhere, man.
Yeah, it's not. I'll for sure listen to Fela. But recent, honestly. Burna Boy's last album, bro, was just, I was on my way to London when it dropped, and I was on my flight. I literally downloaded the album before we took off. Like,
yeah.
We're on the turn, we're going down the turn.
Burna's doing wonders right now. What he's doing for Nigeria, Africa, and like just the whole thing as a musician. And he's, like, what do you say? He's not an Afrobeat artist.
Yeah.
He's just an artist. I see what he's saying. You know, it's like, I don't want you to typecast me into just this mode. Like, I'm actually an artist. And he's a great artist. Mm-hmm. He's doing it. He's probably the biggest right now.
But let me touch on that. Like what you said about downloading it on the way to London, because I was on that same trip. It's just a different, when you like, I think that it's ingrained in our head because we were in London and everybody knows about London. There's a lot of Africans in London. So it was just a different type of vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like you listening to it and you're around a lot of Africans. Like I remember we went to the hookah spots, the clubs, everything was just all Africans.
Club tape, what was it? Club tape.
I forgot the hookah spot, and it's just amazing.
Is an extension of Nigeria. Absolutely. First of all, that trip is like a short, quick 8-hour flight compared to like Americans trying to go back to Africa. This is a lot different. My parents live in London, That's when I go to London, I feel like I'm in Nigeria, low key.
Bro, it's amazing. It's a vibe, bro. So like that, listening to the album during that trip was just, it took it to another level. You know what I'm saying? And it was just perfect timing. It's like it was just like etched. Yeah. Like, you know, we're going to London. We know what's out in London. You know, us being Nigerian, there's gonna be a bunch of Nigerians and Africans in general out there. So the whole week we're out there, we just listening to.
And then Burna Boy so happens to be out there performing. Yep. Okay. His album and stuff while we were out there, man. Crazy.
Maybe ruckus. Like, there's a. And also, I'm actually happy that a lot of all these London artists are beginning to do collaborations with, like, Afrobeat artists, like, you know, Skepta's.
Yeah.
He got this new song, Tony Montana, fire song with what's the guy's name? There's so many new artists that are like just there's just like you can see the connect even with American artists, Afrobeat artists.
But do you like that? Do you like the blend of American artists and African artists?
I would say yes, and here's why. It's because it's the exposure.
Yes. I hear
but there's a point where it's becoming like watered down because not every exactly. American artist wants a feature from Can I get a record? Because they know that they want to get some of that.
Not going to lie, though. Chris Brown does a really good job.
Oh, no, no,
he does a really good job.
Chris Brown is probably the main. Chris Brown
is amazing.
Chris Brown embraces what it is. And he appreciates that. Anywhere he goes, he's
been back there a couple of times, actually.
Chris Brown been hit, man.
As long as they don't hijack it, you know, try to hijack it from us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just.
You can't hijack it. It won't even sound authentic.
Hey,
that part.
If you're not from Africa,
man, some of these, I agree, it won't sound authentic. But you know, some of these music labels, man, they're not the, you know, they do some things, man. They do some shady things. And what I mean by hijacking is just like hijacking, like as in like you cutting the actual African artists out of it, right? Monetary wise and everything like that. Make sure that these guys are going to get their just due and they pay for it.
At this, there's too much information out there for you to get. If you get got in this time period, bro, that's on you. 100% that's on you, bro. There's too much information out there. This is not like the early 2000s, the 90s, and the 80s and beyond where people are getting got for
It's a great thing, man. And what I mean by that also is because forget the music, right? You can say I'm going to feature with this artist, but even Usher just had a new song, and it's like it was produced by an African artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, not an African artist, like a African producer.
Right.
You know, shout out to my boy Kiddo. There's KP, but like all these guys are producing a record. You can tell, like, there's African influence in their songs.
You can hear it.
It's like almost every song now. Like any dance hit song has some sort of like African influence into it now. Like if you wanted to be a hit, you might as well put it on it, man.
Let me ask you this: you think One Dance by Drake is Afrobeats? I'm just curious about that.
You know what? I don't know. I didn't really get into that song, honestly. Like, I like hip-hop Drake. I don't like that form of Drake, honestly.
Jamaican Drake?
Yeah, I don't like the Jamaican Drake, the Afrobeat Drake. Nah, bro, give me hip-hop Drake. The other forms of Drake, I skip right over. So I really don't know. I haven't listened to that song enough for me to really be able to tell you that, give you that a straight answer.
You know One Dance, right?
Yeah, I know One Dance, but my thing is,
So if it was an African artist who had One Dance, would you say it's Afrobeats because it's an African artist? I'm just trying to understand what y'all call Afrobeats because Drake is on it, so it's not Afrobeats. The song was written by Wizkid.
To me, what makes it Afrobeat is what sound is behind it. That to me is what makes it Afrobeat because Wizkid can start rapping right now on a Dre beat. You're not gonna call it Afrobeat though.
They gonna call it Afrobeats.
They'll call it Afro. It's not even them. It's somebody that we've never even seen that'll put a label behind it.
What is your definition of Afrobeats? I'm trying to understand what Afrobeat is to you. Is it any song that comes out from an African artist's mouth is an Afrobeat? What is an Afrobeat?
It's hard.
You gotta explain that to people, man.
It's kind of hard to measure, man. It's just a certain sound and vibe.
It's a sound, bro. It's a drum, right? Bro. It's a drum. I know you heard it. You know the talking drums, the one like it's a drum, or even which is the one, man? I wish the one with the wood and the little woods and you hit. It's a sound that Afrobeat gives, and you can be like, you can immediately just be like, okay, like there's a show me and my son are watching. It's called Swagger. And it's on Apple TV or whatever.
I love the show.
When the intro popped up, I told him, I said, oh, that's a Nigerian. I said, whoever sing that is Nigerian. And then sure enough, it was Toby. You know, so I'm like, I knew it. Toby I was just like, Houston. From Houston. I'm like, I immediately knew it. It's not that I looked for it. As soon as I'm like, whoever sing that intro, I said, that's a rapping the intro. That's he's Nigerian. Guarantee. And then I'll listen. I said, he's Igbo. I said, listen, just like keep listening. But it's a sound. I don't know. It's just a feeling, I guess.
Shout out to Swagger. That's a great show.
Yeah, it's an amazing
show. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a great show.
I mean, I think it's
Ice Cube's son on it, right?
It's Ice Cube's son. Yeah, that's an amazing show. Check it out.
Great show.
Yeah, Afrobeats.
Produced by Kevin Durant, I want to say.
Yeah. Facts.
Afrobeats, to me, just like you said, vibe, but anything can be a vibe. Country music can be a vibe.
Facts.
That's true.
To me, it's more so that sound.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can tell what sound you're hearing, and you can automatically identify it as Afrobeats.
Right.
Now, there are some songs, for example, that Tyler song, Water, does not sound
Thank you.
Like an African
bro,
song.
Bro, at all.
I don't even think people, I didn't, well, the first time I even heard it, I didn't even know she was African.
Thank you. I felt the exact same way, but then they immediately labeled her.
They labeled her that, and then she won a Grammy for it. And
my thing is, they labeled her that because they probably she's Africa, and it's easier for her to slide her in there and get her that Grammy.
So who's they?
Well, it's the machine. Hold on. It's the machine, bro. It's the label machines, bro. I don't like using the word plants, but like there's industry plants, there's machines, like certain artists get pushed. And I think that one, she has a look. She has a look, and then she's from Africa.
She's from Africa. She's from the main reason why they
so it's like, okay, we're going to put her into this automatic zone that, hey, this is Afrobeats.
But that's what I'm saying. Who is they? Because just because you're an African artist does not mean you're producing Afrobeats.
Again, the machine, bro. The machines are these labels, man.
Like Wale, he's a rapper. Right. He's not, he does make Afrobeat songs, but he also has, he's in the hip-hop genre.
Yeah, because he started off hip-hop too, though. So
we're just going to be...
Because he started off hip-hop, it almost like, puts you in like a little box, like, bro, you're hip-hop. So Wale has done outside of hip-hop. Bro, they still label him as a hip-hop. They still label him
as hip-hop.
They don't
even label him that. Because he makes Afrobeat songs.
He does. Let me ask y'all a question. Like, what, I mean, we're talking about Afrobeats. What artist kind of introduced you to Afrobeats? Like, what was the first artist you were listening to that kind of introduced you to?
My parents, bro. Fela Kuti. Yeah.
So somebody who actually grew up in Nigeria and all that.
Yeah.
We when you say Afrobeats, we used to identify it as just Fela.
Yeah, Fela. Mm-hmm. Right.
Nowadays, it's turned into its own genre. Okay. Everything is now Afrobeats.
So I guess the question is the new genre of Afrobeats, the new form. What was the first artist that
there's a history to that. That can go so many ways. There's actually even a documentary you should check out. I think it's on Netflix. I don't remember if it's called Afrobeats or something. It might be called Afrobeats. And it's just like tells you, it never just came out as, oh, this Afrobeats. It was just something that Fela was doing, the African beats. And then now, Burna Boy pushed it off. Burna Boy, it's Afrobeat. Davido, Afrobeat. Wizkid, Afrobeat. All these artists are like, oh, it's Afrobeat. And Afrobeat just became everything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Amapiano is not even the Afrobeats.
Right. But which one, okay, you mentioned Burna Boy, Davido, Wizkid. Which one of those guys do you feel like had the biggest impact globally? Biggest impact. I'm talking about America, everywhere. Impact.
Some people can say Wizkid, but I believe Burna Boy.
I believe Burna Boy too.
I like this question. I want to answer this question how I want to answer this question. So they all played a part.
Right.
And pushing that Afrobeat that whole narrative to it. And what's DeVito's part to it? DeVito is kinda like us. DeVito was actually born in America. Mm-hmm. Went to school in Atlanta.
Yep, Atlanta.
You know, his parents are Nigerians. He went back home and all that, started making music from his college days in America.
Right.
But singing as an African artist, all that. But he was still American, right? So DeVito, I would say, was the one who made it big in America. In America. Wizkid is Ojulegba, Lagos boy. He was already doing this back home. And now he's worldwide. But he really was pushing. He was the biggest artist. And he was like a kid artist. Imagine think of like Justin Bieber. Right, he was doing it since he was a kid in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And now he's global with it.
I think there's stepping stones to
Burna Boy made it more of a global
That was a question. That's globally, right?
So but you can't say but I'm saying
not to take away from anyone.
Burna Boy looked up to these guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let me say something. You said globally. Mm-hmm. What DeVito was doing in America, being an African artist, was the same exact thing Burna was doing in London. Burna grew up in London. Yeah. Burna's a London boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wizkid, people want to say he's the Baba. And it's like saying the father of this stuff right now, this in today's generation, because he's actually from the motherland, grew up in the motherland. Whereas this other people who are actually influenced it are from different parts of, the globe. Yeah. But globally, I think Burna Boy, his numbers don't lie.
Right. That's numbers, what I'm saying. Like you can't get behind it. The numbers, even the commercial impact. Like I don't think any song Last dominated the charts for so long.
Everything.
TikTok chart, everything. And
everything. NBA halftime shows. Right. Like it's playing everywhere.
He just performed at the Grammys.
Exactly.
That was a big moment for Africa.
And I like that he's taking these samples from like these R&B songs. Because I'm a big 90s R&B person.
So you like it? No.
Huh? Hold on. I love that he takes some of those samples from those 90s R&B songs and he's making it into his own version. Yeah. Like Last Laughs was sampled from Toni Braxton. Sitting on Top of the World was I believe Brandy.
They you know saying we're stealing their songs. Have you heard of Americans, African Americans complaining about Africans are biting off their sound? And we're like, whoa, we're biting off your sound. You biting off our sound. Now it's back to the beef we're talking right, about last episode.
Back to that beef.
Well, back to this stupid beef and kind of these discussions about why we beefing. We're just artists and people making these musics, and these are great music.
But the reason why I have no problem with like especially what Burna Boy is doing, but he's also one. Toni Braxton owns most of that song, like royalty wise.
You mean like 70-80%
of the whole song? Exactly. So she's eating off it more than he is, right? And then also he's also bringing them out on stages and performing with them. So if American artists are gonna do, I want them to do replicate that same type of behavior, right? Like if you're sampling an African artist, make sure they own
credit.
They credit it. I don't know if it's going to be 80% because that's wild, but like give them it should be a 50-50 split or something, right? And then bring them out. If you could perform in live, especially on these big American TV award shows, bring them out. Have them perform there with you. It's just going to create more exposure for them. As long as you follow that same model that Burna Boy is doing, right? He's taking pieces from your music, but he's also kind of giving the artist credit and putting some money in their pocket, basically. Not saying they need it, but he's putting some money in their pocket.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but seeing how that goes, but I think at the end of the day, Burna Boy, no, I think it's a stepping stone. I think DeVito for sure got it out there.
In America.
WizKid for sure took it to another level. And I think Burna Boy literally it was just perfect timing. I there's no way I can put it because everybody in America was just like, basically, it was amazing. It was good to be
eyes, he brought more eyes to Afrobeats, I would say.
But it was
to the global audience.
It was catchy. Yeah. Come on, now it was catchy.
The best concert I tell people all the time, the best concert I ever been to was Burna Boy. I think it was 2021 or 2022, one or two.
I go to that show with you.
Hollywood Bowl, bro. Huge. That was a vibe. That was amazing.
You got a following, man.
Man, it was amazing. I mean, Hollywood Bowl's already a great venue, but like when you have a great artist who understands his craft and everything like that, and it's just a vibe, and he got people dancing in the stands. It's just different, man. It was amazing. It was the best concert I've ever been to. Way better than any hip hop concert. I mean, I haven't been to any of the Beyoncé's or anything. Oh, actually, I have. I've been to On the Run tour and all that stuff, but like, in my opinion, that's by far the best I've been to.
I mean, we're happy for these guys. This is what I call the new generation, because now they're getting awards. They're in award shows. They perform it on stage. But the real forefathers, this Afrobeat stuff has been going for a long time.
Sure. King
Sunny Ade, Ebenezer Obey. We were just saying Fela, of course. I mean, these people were not nominated for any Grammys back in their days.
No recognition.
Never. I mean, they were even saying, like, I don't think Fela has even sold any platinum album. And we're talking, it's crazy. Because his time was just not something that...
It's timing, man.
So we got to salute the new guys for at least bringing that exposure now.
That's how it is. Like, the fathers, like, even the hip-hop, like, I'm sure, like, MC Sham and all those guys, like... They don't get the full credit. They didn't get the full benefit of financially of what they created. You know, this machine. You know what I'm saying? But they're the foundation. And I hope that the culture would take care of those guys. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same thing for Afrobeats. Those guys should be able to take care of them, too.
So where do y'all see music gravitating to, though? Like, where do you see it going? I know how I feel about it. And I'm like, I know I made a comment on IG. A lot of people agree with it, but some people killed me for it, too. But I was just like, yo, hip-hop dead. And I was dead-ass serious. I was dead serious about it. I was like, yo, hip-hop is dying. Like,
you know, there's a way when the old heads are beefing, and that's the new that's the hip hop. When we're talking Drake feature or beefing, that's hip hop.
But I think that's what they need, though.
Some people they think that
to revive themselves.
Yeah, huh? No. Well,
revive what? To do what?
To bring hip hop back a little bit. I think they need it.
Do you mean the beef? It sounds manufactured. Why is it called beefing out of nowhere with Drake?
It was out of nowhere though, and like it's like it's a lot of people.
You just had an album with Drake. Why are you beefing Kendrick? Where did you come from?
That was almost 10 years ago, but
it don't matter. Kendrick, why are you beefing now? What?
Well, Kendrick been wanting to smoke.
Yeah, he's been wanting to smoke. He's been throwing shots for a while.
Yeah, for a minute.
It's boring. It's old. Nobody cares.
A lot of people think it's manufactured.
Nobody even cares.
We will never know. Either way, I think it makes for good music. You know what I'm saying? So, but
if you see it going, though?
Where do you see it going? For us, it'll be hip hop and probably Afrobeat. So,
music, or what are you asking?
Like, where do you see it gravitating to?
Music?
Yeah,
I think it's gravitating to a global audience, and not global audience. Like, global music is now taking over. Forget Afrobeats. We're talking about Bad Bunny, reggaeton. There's different.
Right.
There's different music that is just. Amapiano, you probably never even heard of it. A lot of you never heard about Amapiano before.
No. Right.
No. Now all of a sudden they are.
What about the connection with it with sports, right? So, like, you know, I think that, do you think that, you know how, like, a lot of hip-hop artists and athletes are always kind of, like, intertwined, right? Like, they want to hang out with the hip-hop artists and vice versa. As you see more and more Africans become professional athletes, as you see it's growing, do you feel like that's going to be the same thing too? Like, where they're going to be collaborating on different things, whether it's sponsorship deals, brand deals, and stuff like that.
Oh, I thought you meant tied it back, like Oladipo or something, singing or something like
that. Yeah, or even that, like, right? Even Oladipo, because this is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel like when we're going to have that African athlete come out with a album, like Dame Dollar, right? Come out with his hip hop album. Like, when are we going to see the African athlete do that?
I don't want to see it.
Hey, it's
like,
I mean,
just like what Dame song you know?
I mean, hold on. Nah. It's very rare that I know the titles of songs, I'll be honest with you. That's just
Dame is solid.
Don't diss Dame.
We're not saying that, but I want you to understand something here, because as an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Like, actually as an artist, you have to go on shows. When does an athlete have time to go on shows?
Yeah, of course it'll be off season.
I mean,
and then work an album, same off season.
Hold on. You know, you do realize this has been going on for a while. Shaq was going on tour. Right. Shaq had albums.
Okay. Like, give me somebody else.
Kobe.
Dame Dollar. You know what I'm saying?
He just gave me two artists.
Well, I mean, I'm just giving, those are the people off the top of my head. There's been other artists. Chris Webber had songs.
Yeah, give me albums. A Shaq song.
Bro, I don't get going back to Cali. What Biggie?
I don't even know that song.
It's out there though.
Well, yeah, it's out
there. The point I'm trying to make is it's not.
No. Shaq was selling, bro. He was selling.
We know he was selling, but you just mentioned one person.
Okay, but what I'm just giving you, do you think we will ever see that? That's all I'm asking. Like,
see, in Africa, I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, no to that. You are like, they have to be pigeonholed to just being an athlete. No, there's plenty of time, bro. You hold on. As an athlete, you working out probably, let's say, 5 hours of the day. What's wrong with you going to the booth the rest of the hours of the day and laying down some tracks? You could do that.
Better than a bunch of other stuff.
And you're going to have Supreme. Yeah. You're going to be able to pay your producers. You're going to be able to pay for great equipment and all that. You have plenty of time to do that.
Listen, if you're trying to be an athlete, a professional athlete, you are locked in.
Bro,
you're not, again, and if you want to be a great artist, you're locked into being a great artist. You're in the studio all the time, late nights.
But we live in a different time where athletes, they don't want to just shut up and dribble. They're showing they could do more than just being an athlete.
Okay. Now, so what I'm
saying is, hold on. What I'm saying is, whether successful or not, that's not the question. I said, when do we ever think we're going to see that? I didn't ask if he's going to be successful.
An African athlete playing Afrobeats?
Yes, exactly. I didn't ask about being successful or nothing like that. I just said, do you think we're going to ever see that? Period. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Very possible. Does a lot of people have an Afro?
No, his is more like R&B.
No, it's more R&B.
I don't know. I don't know his catalog, like that, but he may have. I'm sure if he's smart, which I'm sure he is, he probably has a few Afrobeat songs out there.
Gotcha. I don't see why not. Right. Like at least test the waters.
Right.
Commercially successful, that's a different story.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's completely different.
But yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So if we're going to talk about athletes, let's get into something else then. Like, how do you feel the sports is gravitating, how a lot of Africans are dominating a lot of these sports right now?
Every sport.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I love it, man. I love it. I think that my generation missed out. And I say that because growing up, my parents, I don't know, I can't speak for your parents, but from what I've had conversations, but our parents from our generation did not support anything outside of school. So I know for a fact, like, I have a brother, you've seen him, the guy, he should have been an NFL player for sure. Thanks. He didn't have the support. Guy's 6'4", 230, can run a 4'4", play receiver in DN in high school. That just tells you the type of beast he was. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had every college sitting in our living room, you know what I'm saying, when I used to come back from school, you know, from USC to Washington. But if he had that support, he would have been an NFL player for sure. And I feel like the athletes today, are getting that support that we didn't get. So they're getting the opportunity to train outside of their normal practice time, right? Right, because that's what you need to become a pro athlete. You got to go to these extra, we're going to invest into some extra training. We're going to make sure you're good as far as equipment and gear and stuff like that. Yes, we want you to still do good in school, but we're going to support you, come to your games. Man, I mean, I love my mom and my parents and everything like that, but I think my mom came to one game in college my senior year, bro, and it was because it was at Mount Sac. Like, it was right there. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, she came to one track meet, and it was, you know, 10-minute drive for her, so she came. But outside of that, I didn't even think about it to ask.
But here's why. You got to put yourself in their shoes, right? They didn't grow up with sports legends like that. Like, it was in America, yeah, you see all the Jordans and all those people with the Charles Barkley. We knew, what's the Houston legends? Hakeem. One sport, and that was it. When was the last time we just didn't know about anybody else after that?
Most likely for when it comes to Africans, per se, they have to see it. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't forget all the going.
They got to see that the religion successful.
Maybe, we have to see that this thing has actually worked.
Yeah,
before we start pushing it forward. But in their eyes, they're like, no, we know that if you go to school, you become an engineer, a doctor, or a lawyer, you'll have success. Right. But at the same time, but now when they see, all right, quick story. So I know Duke is probably watching this, but I remember when Duke got drafted to the Broncos. I promise you not, bro. I'm sitting in the living room, and my dad, and I'm like,
they don't know.
Oh crap! I'm like, Duke got drafted to the, you know, to the Denver Broncos. My pops had the nerve to fix his lips. He was just like, my friend, how come this one went and made it? Why didn't you go and make it? I just looked at him and was just like, bro, no support at all. Like, bro, once they see it,
especially football.
But you see what's being manifested, right? Not manifested, but you see what's being created, right? When there is that support, right? Nice. So you got UFC. I mean, last year you had, you know, Francis Ngannou, who was a heavyweight champion. You had Izzy. You had Usman. These guys are African athletes dominating UFC. You know what I'm saying? And then you had boxing, you had Anthony Joshua. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And that's, you know, these guys are athletes, and they're African athletes, and they're champions of the world. You know what I'm saying? And so it just tells you, like, if we actually support our kids, and I know, oh, you do a great job of doing that with your kid, you know, they could get to these goals that they want. As long as they want it, you know what I'm saying? Right. At the end of the day, as long as they want it, you know what I'm saying? As long as we put some sort of support behind it. I mean, I feel like we're naturally athletic and gifted and built and strong and all that, like, honestly, to be quite honest with you. And I think that we're seeing the outcome of all that right now. Like, the NFL, I mean, you see the NFL trying to tap into Africa right now.
Oh, yeah.
NFL Africa, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big push. You got Nigeria's building a stadium out there.
Ghana's building. So next season, I believe, they're supposed to be
Having the game, right?
For the first game in Africa in Ghana. Right. Like, I don't want to be a part of that.
I think I sent it to you on Instagram or the group on Instagram, bro. There's a whole football league out there right now in Africa, bro. Like,
for real?
like pads and everything. It's
even
wild,
the
man.
NBA is doing something like that with NBA Africa.
Yeah.
Where absolutely. A lot of people are actually going there. It's kind of like they're scouting, really, too. But they call it NBA Africa. I mean, that's how Joel Embiid got into the league.
Right, yep.
They went there. I mean, he talks about it. And there's a lot of these – they might not have been big names when they played, but to their countries, Cameroon, all these all these guys that, you know, Emeka Okafor.
Right. Like,
they're going back home doing these things that people don't really know about it because they were not big. Now, someone like Giannis, I mean, he just did a documentary, a thing with WhatsApp where he went back home. Everyone tunes into it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like he's showing his background and all that. Right. Now, he didn't grow up playing in Africa and get inspired by it. But you can go on YouTube and type in Akeem's journey and see how he grew up playing basketball in Africa.
What I love, I think, the most is that the leagues are pushing it.
They're putting money into it.
They're putting money into it. They're pushing it,
they had to.
Think about this, though. Yeah. They had to because it's untapped, I feel like. But, like, think about it. You know who won NFL most fashionable person this year?
The guy from the Broncos? From the Browns?
The guy from the Browns. He came every day in every game in his African attire.
And they were, you know why? It was different.
And people ate it up. I'm looking in the comments, just, you know, I'm reading these comments. I'm thinking, I saw people white and every. that fish fire. That's, he looked like he's ready to come out for war and and his war outfit. Like, people were loving it. I mean, there's, of course, a few different haters, here and there, but a lot of it was a positive comments that, like, hey, yo, definitely deserve winning that, you know, the you know, fashion, I don't know what they call it, fashionista of the year, whatever. But, like, yeah, man, it was fire. It was masculine fire.
And amazing. Shout out to those people who are trying to embrace their culture.
Absolutely.
There's some Africans that don't embrace being an African because they know nothing about it. It doesn't matter. If you can shed some light on just your bloodline, that helps a lot because the camera is on you. You can definitely, that's why I'm saying shout out to some of these guys like Joel, Giannis, they even talk about it, Iguodala. We dominate some.
So who's the best African or athlete of all time?
Of all time?
All time. Right. Well, okay, so, two questions. Currently and all time.
All right. Currently, I'm going to have to go with Giannis. I have to go with Giannis currently.
But talking about in basketball?
Any sport.
Just any sport. But all time, though, I'm going to have to go with all time. Bro, I'm going to keep it OG. And I'm going to JJ Okocha. If you know, you know. If you know, you know for sure. All time.
Skill set, everything about dude was – I mean, that's what we looked up to. That was a god to us back when I grew up in Nigeria. Like, JJ Okocha, everybody wanted to dribble like him. You want to play like him. He was a cool kid on the – and, you know, they won the Olympics back in, I think, 96. And that was, like, a big deal to us. Like, you just beat Spain and Argentina? Like, in Brazil? Like, come on. I think for basketball, the biggest person to me would be Hakeem, not Giannis. And it's the same thing as saying LeBron versus Michael Jordan. Hakeem brought – to African kids, like that was even to our parents.
But he said current and all time. So current, I pick Giannis.
Currently, I cannot deny it's Giannis. Okay. There's no denying that. I mean, that guy is a beast.
So I'm
Joel is up there with him too, though. Yeah. They're both MVPs, man. They're both MVPs.
So for me, for sure, Hakeem, I mean, he just had the dope nickname, you know, the dream. I mean, he played during the big man era, the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So he went back to back NBA championships, and he went through David Robinson, Alonzo Mourning, Shaq, you know, Ewing, all these big men that are all in the Hall of Fame, Dikembe, all these guys in the Hall of Fame. He's battling night out. Yeah, and he was just going to work. Like, he's so great that, like, my guy, Bean, rest in peace, he was going to train with him in the offseason, getting his foot right in post game. Damn, you know what I'm saying?
He's still training these cats.
Yeah. LeBron was going to offseason and training with him and all that. But then, like, currently, for sure, it's got to be Giannis. I mean, I value – when I measure athletes, I value, you know, what you do and when it matters most, which is playoffs, right? And although Embiid is amazing – you know, Giannis, we saw Giannis, like, that game six, bro, when he had, like, 50 and 20 or whatever it was. You could see it. He said, I'm not going to let my team lose. And I haven't seen that from guy like Embiid yet. And I know he's a great player, but this guy, I mean, Giannis led that team. He's won two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, the guy, his trajectory, I mean, hopefully he's healthy for this playoff run. His trajectory is, like, it's limitless, you know, honestly. I do want to see him kind of refine his skills and get a little bit of a more consistent jumper and post like a jump hook or something. But, you know, I mean, he's cemented. His legacy is cemented already. He's a top 75 player already. They already had him in there. His legacy is cemented.
Would you, being African, would you allow you – and you know the stigma it is about football and stuff like that. But would you allow your kids to play? Would you allow your kid to play football?
Absolutely.
Me personally, I play football, and I don't want my kids playing football. I think that I want my kid to play. I like baseball for my kid. Reason being is, you know, hopefully he gets my speed and athleticism and height. And I think if he gets the support from me, there's no reason why. If you start him at a young age and just teach him hand-eye coordination, I think there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to go far. Now, granted, I'm not going to push him to anything that he doesn't want to do. So if he wants to continue that, great. But I'm also going to make sure he's well-rounded, right? I'm going to have him taking coding classes, a bunch of different stuff, too. So he's well-versed, right? Because I think all that type of stuff is the wave of the future. But for sure, football, I don't think I want him playing. I want him playing baseball.
You might not want it, but if that's what the kid –
yeah, that's different. Yeah, you know, yeah. If they want to do it, you help push it.
You can see he's good at this stuff. Hey, you can't stop him.
But how's he gonna know he's good at something if he's not playing?
You just gonna shut him off from not playing it?
Hold on.
The homie low key hypocritical now, because we just had a conversation where you said your parents didn't allow you to play football, but you went around and did it anyway.
I did. But I also see what it can do to your body. I also see what it can be. What can be done?
It was worse back then when you were playing than it is now.
But you're absolutely right.
You're not complaining. If you were a top 50 NFL player today.
No, it's just bad on your body, man.
I get on your body. I get what you're saying.
Any sports is bad on your body.
Nah, I mean baseball is a little. It's low impact. Baseball is a lot low impact.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, you're right. Anything can happen. But it's the chances of you, like, literally. They said, bro. They measured. A kickoff. The reason why they're trying to get rid of the kickoff returns is because they said it's like a car accident. Every time these guys come down and hit, it's like you being in a car accident. Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to tell you, how dangerous that sport is, bro. Like, to me, my kid can make it in other ways. If he can't make it in baseball or something like that, he's going to make it in. He's going to be well-rounded enough to where he can make money.
Bro,
hey, golf, I'm all for it. Golf. Hey, listen, you get an African playing golf.
You still get hurt in golf.
Nah, it's not the same. It's not the same, bro.
I think whatever the kid wants to do, man, let them do it, bro. I understand. I never played football. You know, I grew up in Nigeria. We didn't
play football. Exactly. So that's the thing. So, you never played. That's what I'm saying. So you can't even speak on.
But I'm saying my kids, if they were to be raised in America,
because this situation is different. He came when he was 16. It's kind of hard to jump in at 16. No.
And what I'm saying is, he doesn't probably know the effects and how your body gets beat up.
I wouldn't know the effect of basketball. I didn't play basketball.
It's different. It's different from seeing it and feeling it, bro.
I agree with you.
It's different.
I'm agreeing. I'm just saying, say for example, you were my son. You grew up here.
Yeah.
I can't stop you from you. You ran track. You did all these sports. Can't stop you from it. Now, don't get it wrong. When I was in Nigeria, I was in sports too. My parents didn't say don't. We did long. I did high. I did what do you call it? Long jump. I did track and field. A lot of into house sports. We do all that all the time. Mm-hmm. Where we do relays and all that. We still participate in sports, but all these like football. We don't play football there. I mean, whatever you guys call it, football. Yeah. But we play soccer, but not football. We don't do that there. So the impact of it. You can see that CT, all these different injuries. I just can't stop the kids from. And also, helmets a lot different nowadays than they were back in the day.
A lot of things have changed.
The helmets, helmets, man. That's just the NFL trying to say, hey, these people are still getting concussed left and right. Still,
so you're
getting
saying they
injured.
Just banned the whole sport, huh?
I'm not saying banned it. It's my favorite sport. To watch. To watch.
So hold on. You don't want your kid to play it. You make sure to have it on the TV on Sunday, Monday, Thursday.
Because you enjoy seeing this guy.
And he's seeing you.
He also going to be watching baseball, too.
Facts.
And that's what he's going to do.
Look at Kyler Murray. Do a sport.
Yeah, but, bro, again, the way that football beats up your body, man, I just think there's other sports out there that you get paid. You can make more money. It's less cutthroat.
100% understand what you're saying, but the gist of the question is, it's not about – we understand that part. It's if your child wanted to do it,
I want
to
play
would you deny them?
You don't buy those cleats for him? You don't buy none of that? You don't buy the helmet for him?
Oh, the obvious.
So then when he becomes successful, you're going to remember all that.
Yeah, can't play.
You're going to remember all that when he grows up. My dad said.
I'm going to make sure me and the wife is on the same, you know what I'm saying? My future wife is on the same.
10, 15 years from now, your kid watches his podcast and say, dang, you didn't want me to?
Bro, look at me, bro. I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be that one uncle that be like, yo, hey, respect your father. Respect what he's saying. But if you truly believe that's what you want to do.
Do your thing.
Hey, text uncle on the side, bro, and I'll make sure.
I got you. I'll get you those cleats.
I'll get you to pay for that and them shoulder pads.
Y'all do realize you got to sign off on your kid's plane, right? So at the end of the day.
How'd you do it?
Yeah, I forged you. You can't forge documents. Nowadays, you know everything's electronical.
Bro, don't do that,
come
bro.
Come on now. Everything's electronic.
At the end of the day, you were smart enough to figure it out. Yes or
but no? But I also realized, here's the thing. My parents, my mom wouldn't know because she was working all the time. It's going to be different for me. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to know where my kids is at all the time. You got to in today's generation.
That's crazy. You're going to deny that special kid is talent.
Said by every parent that doesn't have children, bro. Trust me, bro. There's stuff that your children are doing right now that you have no idea what they're doing.
Listen, you're
because
right.
You wouldn't even let them come talk to you about
hold on.
It.
You're right about that. But playing a sport, it's hard for you to be playing a sport and your parent not know.
Nah, bro. You play football
again.
Track.
Again, you're talking about you're coming from your parents, and they're you know what I'm saying they're being not from America, and you can probably tell them stuff like they're not going to pull fast ones on us because we grew up out here. Yeah. We did those fast ones. So I'm going to know when my kid is lying and da-da-da-da.
For
like,
sure.
You're going to know but that. I think at so a certain
age, once they get to a certain age, your child is always going to respect you. But at the end of the day, I believe they will hit you up and be like, yo, dad, my friends and everybody I hang out with are doing this, dad. I want to do this.
You're a follower?
You're not going to do that, bro.
If your friends jump off a bridge, you going to jump off a bridge too?
It's sports. Would you rather your kid playing 2K or, I mean, just playing games all day?
No, like I said, he could play baseball. He could play.
No, he don't want to play his baseball.
He can run track. He wants baseball. We're going to have him coding. He's going to be coding.
No, he either played.
He's going to be coding.
What's that, Fortnite? Or he wants to play football? What you choosing?
Coding. Coding is gonna be big, man. So you know what I'm saying? Like there's other things to do out there. Play music.
The start of this whole conversation, bro. You felt one way, then reverted back to do exactly
it's different. So my parents didn't support me on anything.
That's what you're done doing.
No, I'm supporting them on
not doing it.
I'm supporting them in sports. It's just not necessarily football. If you want to play any other sport, I'm open to it. My parents, and I don't want to paint them as bad people, but they were busy. They didn't have time to go out there and support, right? So they wouldn't have invested in one, probably couldn't afford it, invested in me, you know, playing football, buying me cleats, playing basketball, buying me basketball shoes, spikes and all that. Like I had to hustle for those things myself in order to even be a part of those teams. Like I was cutting grass, I was selling candy, I was doing all kind of stuff to make sure that I had those things in order to be able to go out there, perform, compete. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. If my kid is playing baseball and he needs new cleats and new bats and all that, here you go. We're gonna probably get him some extra training outside of practice. I'm gonna be driving him to practice and all that. Bro, I was walking home, taking the bus, all that on my own or with my friends. It sounds good though.
So you have kids, huh?
Yeah. I have two, so I already know how this goes.
They play football?
Huh? Yeah. So I know how this goes, but it sounds
good. So wait, hold on. Okay, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
What was your son's favorite sport?
Track.
I thought he liked basketball.
Oh, track is his favorite sport. Mm-hmm. Track is his favorite sport. Mm-hmm. He did like basketball. But at some point, he knew he was just like, yo, dad, I might not hit 6'1", huh? Now I'm like, yo, bro, you really might not hit 6'1", bro. So let's be realistic with ourselves. Let's be realistic. You see how the family looks, bro? Yeah,
so you can't like, just pick baseball. What if you don't even know about baseball?
So I'm like,
let's play.
Hey, listen. You know? If he doesn't pick sports altogether, that's totally fine.
No, I'm saying.
No, that's cool.
He didn't watch baseball. He don't have an idol in baseball.
Right, but
looking up
again,
to baseball?
Football is just a very dangerous sport, man. Unless they can figure out by the time he gets up age to where it's safer on the body and everything like that, maybe we have a conversation. But
what if he's a kicker or quarterback?
As of right now, you know what I'm saying? It's just way too dangerous. They got to figure out a way to.
What if he's a kicker?
Okay, my son's not gonna be a kicker, bro.
He's
not gonna be. Come on now, bro.
You ain't gonna let him do that either.
No, it's not that I'm not gonna let him do that, but the dude's gonna be. First of all, see, this how when you play football, they're going to see, oh, this guy's fast and tall. He's not going to be a kicker. They're not going to make him be a kicker, bro. He's going to be too athletic. But they're going to be like, oh, go out there and kick.
He was a kicker. He just so happened to be born.
But the chance of that happening is not going to happen, bro. they're not going to look at my kid and he's fast and has some size on him. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, make him a kicker. That's not going to happen. They're going to make sure he could play some other. You could probably kick, but you still going to play lineup at quarterback.
How you know your child going to be fast?
And at the end of the day.
Because it's in the blood. Every one of my family members are fast, bro. Every single one of them. Both my brothers ran 4.4. I ran a 4.3. Bro, every one of them was fast.
So you for sure guaranteed you marrying someone that's a track athlete?
Hey, look. I think my bloodline is going to override her speed or athleticism, all that. It's going to override it.
Hey, at the end of the day. It's a agree to disagree, honestly. So we're gonna leave it at that, honestly. But that wraps up the time.
Hey, good episode.
Good episode. It was a pleasure.
Hope y'all enjoyed it.
You guys, hopefully you enjoy it. Hey, and we'll see you until next time. Deuces.